My family actually never wanted me to fight, so it never really happened for me when I was younger, and I kind of gave up. And I turned 29 and I thought, you know what, I'm really just going to give it one more go. I'm going to go to Thailand. Some trainers make you run 12k. That's before your 2-hour session.
Holy shit.
Even though I'm the heaviest I am now, I feel like I'm the strongest I am now. So he said to me, you're champion, but you fat. If you can step in the ring, you can do anything.
Yeah.
If you can put a pair of gloves on, you can do anything. If I never fight again because of my weight, I'll be distraught. My friend comes back, she goes, your name's on the list. You have an opponent. And I said, you're absolutely shitting me.
Hello and welcome to the She Who Dares Wins podcast. My guest today is Christina
Fiadonna.
Yes! Great start.
We got there.
Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so excited for today. Okay, so first question.
Okay.
She Who Dares Wins. What do those words mean to you?
I think it really resonates with me because I think of a female fighter. And that can be translated into anything in life. You know, you're fighting to win. You know, if you're darish enough to try it, you will win. I really love the brand. I think it's amazing.
Thanks.
I love that slogan. I've actually had loads of compliments from the hoodies.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah, and they're like, where's it from? So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, you are a fighter, for anyone out there listening. So let's get into your story.
My story.
We should probably let the audience know that I came down to visit you. And for the new She Who Dares Wins documentary series, I put myself in the ring, which we'll come to. But I found you on Instagram and was like, who is this incredible fighter?
Thank you. I can't take compliments.
You'll have to. I'm going to throw them at you. I was just, I don't know what it was. You know, just those random things that you've seen. I'm like, okay, I've got to speak to you. And then obviously, DMs hit. And
we did, yeah.
Yeah, but... yeah, how did you become a Muay Thai fighter?
It's a long story. I started martial arts at 4, went into karate, then kickboxing, taekwondo in between that. And every single gym that I went to, all the gyms just went bankrupt. So I stumbled across Muay Thai actually by accident. Walked into this Muay Thai gym. I had my kickboxing gi on with my belt. I don't know who I thought I was. You know, and you suddenly walk into the room and you're like, oh, this is not the get up here. I should not be wearing this. Ah! Everyone's like half naked, little tiny Muay Thai shorts on. There's no grading system to be seen. And everyone must have thought I was a right bellend walking in with all my gi. But anyway, went into that. I've been doing it so I was 10 when that happened. So I've been doing it for about 20 years now.
Wow.
With about a 5-year on and off period, not really taking it seriously, just stumbling across some gyms. But originally went into Muay Thai because of bullying at school, not being very self-confident. And my dad, he calls us, me and my sisters, his Spartan women. He wants us to be able to look after ourselves.
Right.
You know, so he was always big on his martial arts as well.
Right.
And my uncle. So I've had a lot of influence that sense. But my family actually never wanted me to fight. They've actually said I'm too nice. And they would be worried about how I would come across in the ring. So I've always been a bit cautious on that. But I've always been adamant. As soon as I went and watched Benice Aldis fight at York Hall, I was like, I need to get in there. I have to get in there.
So it was just like I've got to do this. It's not,
yes.
It's a calling.
It was just a feeling. I think I'll be brilliant. I really want to get in there. I've never been so sure of something.
Wow.
And I just really want to get in there, but it was always a problem of weight classes, things like that, finding matchups. Because back then, we're talking about 15 years ago, I was about 14, 15. There was probably about 2 shows a year and there wasn't much of a fight scene for women back then. You had to be 63 kilos or less, which I wasn't. I was around 70 kilos. So it never really happened for me when I was younger. And I kind of gave up. I turned around 23 years old, just gone into uni, going in more of a strength and conditioning route. And I thought, nah, I'm going to hang up the hat. I've had my time. It wasn't going to happen. Even though that desire was still there, I think I would get quite emotional if I thought about it. And I turned 29 and I thought, you know what? I'm really just going to give it one more go. I'm going to go to Thailand. Didn't really go with the intention of fighting. I didn't want to get that expectation of myself. I didn't want to create something that wasn't reachable. So I wanted to get in the ring when I got there, but I just wanted to see how it goes. I was originally only meant to go for 6 weeks as well, which is why I didn't really set the goal of getting into the ring. Ended up staying for 7 months.
Yeah.
Very deep into my credit card and my overdraft.
So, wow, we've got to do these things, right?
Yeah, and that's when I realised, I was like, I really need to leave. Otherwise, I would have just stayed and stayed and stayed.
But what was it like? So that you know, you've never been to Thailand before, I guess.
I was 19.
Right, okay.
Yes. I had a fight then, loved it. It was a very small inter-club style, not really much of an audience, if I'm being honest. But then I was meant to fight at MBK, which is, at the time, that was the only arena that the women could fight in Bangkok.
Right.
Nowadays, you can fight Lumpini, Rajaratnam, Channel 7. You can fight all these places as a woman, but back then you couldn't.
Right.
MBK was the only outdoor kind of facility that allowed that. And I got glandular fever. And I couldn't fight. I was gutted. So I felt like I was finally going to get on a proper stage out of like an inter-club kind of environment and actually fight. So it didn't happen. So I think that was kind of the reason as well why I kind of wanted to get back out there and try once more. Because I think you kind of go for a little bit of a midlife crisis when you're about to turn 30.
Oh, try 40. That shit's happening.
Can't wait. I'm going to get in the ring again. I'm going to go, nope, let's go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to happen. I'll just pre-warn you on that.
Yeah, it's fine.
But you get to Thailand and that's the home of it, right?
Yeah, it's a national sport.
Yeah. What is going through your head like at that point? Like you put yourself in the situation where you're not sure if you're going to fight, but you kind of do want to fight.
Oh, it's a huge reality check.
Yeah.
There are Amazonka women everywhere, Amazon warriors everywhere.
Right.
And then there's me, a little bit overweight. Is an understatement. I am overweight. And I do feel out of my depth. And it is a huge wake-up call. And it's like, okay, if I really want to do this, I need to give 100%. The regime out there is ridiculous. It's, if you are fighting, you need to run in the morning. And that can be anything from 5K to 8K. Some trainers make you run 12K. That's before your two-hour session.
Holy shit.
That's just the morning.
Right.
That's just the morning. So you'll do your run. The most I ever ran, considering my weight and my ability to be able to run, the most I ever ran was 8K. And that took me an hour and 20 minutes.
But I haven't run that in my life.
So I was kind of just thrown in the deep end with that one. I hate running, loathe running. But that's how the regime is. So if you are fighting, you have to run. If the trainers don't see you running, they won't let you fight. It's very old school in that sense. That's the golden era of Muay Thai. That's how they prepare for their fights.
Right.
Then you do your 2 hours training. You go home, you have breakfast, you shower, and then you sleep. And then you come back at 4 o'clock and you do another 2 hours. If you're fighting, again, you might do half an hour skipping or you might then go for another 2.5 to 5K run. It's ridiculous. I chose not to do that because of my S&C background. I focus more on the weights.
Right.
Because I feel like I've got a little bit more education on the modern aspects of strength and conditioning.
Right.
So I kind of held back on that. And I tried to convince the Muay Thai trainers, because, you know, they're very set in their ways.
Right.
And I tried to convince them, no, this is how I'm training, so I'm going to be doing it this way. And they're like, okay, no worries. Because they could see that I was strong.
Yeah.
I'm a big girl, but I'm strong.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
Very strong. And I feel strong. And even I'm the heaviest I am now, I feel like I'm the strongest I am now in Muay Thai. My kicks have never been harder, punches have never been harder, and I really do think it's because of the S&C, so I did focus on that. But the regime is ridiculous out there, and the heat, oh my God, is ridiculous. In monsoon season, I think it reached about 38 degrees at one point, and there's no breeze. It's just close air, humid, heat rash, mosquitoes combined with that. And then obviously, now that I've extended my time out, I'm starting to live like a Thai. I don't have air conditioning. The budget's gone down.
Just fan me.
He's got a little fan. So it is brutal, but it's beautiful. Yeah. If you love the sport,
it's the place to be.
It is the place to be, 100%.
And I remember when we were chatting before and I said, like, how did you feel, like, accepted, were you accepted when you went over there?
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, 100%.
Absolutely, absolutely. Crews over there, they're very direct. I mean, for example, I had many times crew Cookie would say...
great name.
Cookie, yeah. So I'll explain. Thai people have an English name and also a name that they're born with. So when they're born, they get given an English name for the Farangs, the foreigners, to understand.
Nice.
So I don't want to get this wrong. Cookie's real name is Lok Chuit. I can't remember. If I read it, I can say it.
Okay.
It, obviously, as you can see, it's quite difficult.
Yeah.
So they just come up with an English name. So he's Crew Cookie.
Nice.
And then you have Crew Bank or Crew Beer.
I can see where this is going.
You have a lot, yeah. So you can see it ravels off. So he said to me, "You champion, but you fat."
Direct.
And it's, yeah, they're very direct and they don't mean it in any malice.
Yeah, yeah.
They've, you just, know, yes, it's just the way they are. Skinny, fat, that's it.
Right.
They don't say muscly, you know, that's it. They don't, and they don't mean it with any intention to make you upset. If anything, that's a huge compliment.
Right.
If there was larger weight classes, I'm champion.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's like, this is actually great. Because, you know, you do kind of go through that period of, oh, I could have been champion. No, because I've just got paid the biggest compliment by a crew.
Yeah.
You could, you know, if you were a little more with, towards Thai culture and a lot smaller, because that's the reason why there are those weight classes, is because of the you know, the Thais, the Asians are a lot smaller. Naturally, genetically, they're a lot smaller.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
You know, so that's how it started to come about, basically. I do want to fight again, but I'm trying to be an advocate to increase weight classes. So hopefully that will work. Sorry, I went off on one there.
We'll definitely come back to that, because that's like, yeah, I feel like you're on a path with that, and people need to get behind it. But talk me through some of the stuff in Thailand, because I think you got some funny stories of kind of like fighting. Maybe like your first fight, or like when you train. I know you say there were like midges and the heat. What were some like trying? Did you ever have any times where you were like, I need to go home, or
Christmas, absolutely, right. Yeah, that was the first time ever away from home, from family, and it was awful. I was sick with COVID in bed. it just didn't feel Christmassy at all. I feel like I haven't had a Christmas,
right?
So I can't wait for this Christmas. I'm gonna go all out. But funny stories. We went to the amazing Muay Thai festival in Huahin, first ever one, and basically you can train with the stars. So you can train with San Chai on the beach, Kem. What's his name? Sit Something On from that gym. You got loads of Thai legends, basically. And in that is a amateur bout, basically. And you can sign up, and it's included in the price. We only kind of went for our training certifications. We're doing all the seminars, we're training with the stars, and basically we agreed, me and my friend, that we were going to be in each other's corner. She's 68 kilos. At this time, I'm 96 kilos. I was looking around the camp. I can clearly see that there's no female that's my weight. I'm not going to fight. And I was quite set in stone on that.
Right.
So we had an agreement. We're going to be in each other's corner. We've got each other's backs. We've just done a course to be able to be a cornerman and be certified for that. So we was like, okay, we can test it. Anyway, we wake up that morning. The night before, I was having beers at McDonald's because I'm technically on holiday. Yeah, it was my first holiday of not being regimented. I saw that as a bit of fun, if I'm being honest, and I needed the break. By this point, this was February, and I'd been there for 6 months of that regime, and I just needed a little break. My friend comes back, she goes, "Your name's on the list. You have an opponent." And I said, "You're absolutely shitting me." I said, no. And she goes, "I'm being serious." Gone to the room, everyone else is trying to make weight, and I've just gone up to the CEO and I've said, "What's going on?" First I hear that I've got an opponent. He goes, "Yeah, we've managed to find someone. She's come all the way from Canada."
Oh, wow.
He goes, "Please don't pull out, because, you know, she's travelled so far and she's trained for this." And in my head, I'm thinking, I haven't trained for 2 weeks.
Nothing worse is that when you're like, psychologically, you're not
there.
Do you
know, you just freeze inside. You're just frozen with fear. And you're thinking, "Oh my God." And you can't do anything except just laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
I've walked away and I've gone, okay, fine. I can't pull out, because if someone did that to me and I've come all the way from Canada, I'd be fuming.
If it's America, I'd be like, yeah, whatever.
But yeah, Canada, yeah. If it was like local, up the street, fine.
Yeah.
But she's come that far. Anyway, long story short, the shorts wouldn't fit for the promotion. So I had to find some shorts that would fit me. which was an absolute nightmare. And then we find out that me and my friend are actually, said they had two rings on at the same time. Mm-hmm. We find out that we're actually fighting at the same time, different rings. So we don't have corner men.
Oh, shit.
So we started massaging each other, as you do in Thailand. You've got to do the Thai grill to get prepped. And we're thinking, what the fuck are we going to do? My friend managed to find, she just ran up to the closest person next to her and said, can you be in my corner? And he's like, yep, no problem. And I'm just standing there thinking, what am I going to do? And I'm looking around, everyone's busy. All of a sudden, the room's gone quiet. No one's in there. And I'm stuck without a corner. We've gone out and I've just walked into the ring, done my Y crew. And this guy, he's just screamed from the stands, where's your corner man? I said, don't have one. And he's gone, like, missed out for, I'm coming. He just comes running down with ice and water. And basically, we have our introductions. What's your name? Where are you from? I gave him the lowdown. I said, look, I haven't trained. I had McDonald's last night. It's
was his whispering.
Yeah, exactly. Like... And he just looked at me and went, right. And not taking me seriously at all.
Okay.
Wrong shorts, overweight, hasn't trained, hasn't been running. I find out my opponent's been running 10K every day, every morning to get prepared. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what am I doing here? And I thought, you know what? It's amateur. It's not going to affect my pro record. It's fun. It's last minute. Let's try it. Side note, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a very small netting across both rings for shade. It was not shaded. My feet were on fire. Head guard, elbow pads, shin pads. I'm boiling, absolutely boiling. Long story short, lost the fight to points. Learned a lot that day. Learned a lot. I was like, never take a fight last minute. Always be ready to fight. Always be ready to fight. Always be in fighting fit. Don't take a holiday, basically. Especially when you're in Thailand. Right. Just keep going. Because that definitely bit me up the arse. I could have done a lot better that day.
Yeah, but like you say, you weren't on holiday. Like, I think the thing that I would take away from that is your ability to just roll with, I wouldn't want to say roll with the punches, because that's like, but like in that situation, some people would be like freak out and like back down.
Yes.
Even if it means putting someone, you know, like disappointing someone.
Yeah.
I think that is testament to your personality and your grit.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I think that's awesome. Like when you rabbit in the headlight situation, you know, it's make or break. And I think it's awesome that you were just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Well, they say in your Muay Thai career, you need to experience two types of wins and two types of losses. One win, trying very hard, training very well. One win, not trying so hard.
Okay.
Losing, but training very hard.
Right.
And losing without even trying.
Right.
I lost without even trying.
Yeah.
And I've won before by trying.
Yeah.
So I've had two so far of the four experiences.
Right.
So again, and Thai people don't look at it like that. They say, you know, it's an experience.
Yeah.
If you lose, they don't judge you one bit.
Yeah.
You got in the ring. To them, as long as you showed beautiful Muay Thai and you showed heart, for them, you've done everything you can.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love that, because it's just like, it's just get in there and do it, isn't it?
And yeah, and just try. And I found out later, so I actually spoke, my opponent's name was Holly. Went and found her later, and she said that she almost didn't fight because she found out about the weight difference.
Right.
Because we were in an open weight category.
Okay.
And she goes, you know, I was quite scared. And I was quite scared because I hadn't been training. And it just goes to show.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two people here entering the ring, not very sure. But they've both had a go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was quite nice, actually. Because you always, you do become quite self-aware of how only you're feeling.
Mm.
Not really how your opponent's feeling. And it really opened my eyes to that. It was like, oh, actually, next time I'm going to think about that.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling a bit nervous, she's definitely feeling nervous.
Yeah.
You know? So you're both in the same boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you got your fight. And then how much longer did you stay in Thailand? And
so after that, we went back to Phuket. I think I was there for another month after that. And I was meant to fight again, but I had a motorbike accident.
Oh, no.
I had two motorbike accidents.
Okay. I feel like everyone that goes to Thailand...
They call it Phuket tattoo.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so if you don't get a Phuket tattoo, right, you haven't been to Phuket.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thais just come out, oh, tattoo! I was like, yeah.
So that's when you fall off a bit.
Exactly. I said I have two, though, so I went a bit overboard.
Right. Were you driving or were you...
Both not my fault, by the way.
Oh, I'll take that.
And you would if I explain, you'll understand why. First one was a front puncture carrying a pillion.
Right.
Not my fault. We were going about 15 kilometres per hour.
Okay.
Then the next one was a Food Panda delivery guy. Right. He just drove up my arse and I flew. I literally had wings. And I went to the police station and it was my fault.
Oh, yeah. Right, foreigner, classic. Yes.
And I was all alone. Yeah, I should have called my gym. Yeah, word to everyone, if you're in Phuket, something bad happens and you're with a Muay Thai gym, call the gym. And they will come and back you.
I was going to say, I have watched too many Banged Up Abroad to be
Well, they showed me the pyramid and said, you don't pay, you go to prison. I went, right, how much? Yeah. Started getting the wads. Dad, can you send some money, please?
Holy shit. Yeah. Or get the gym and all the fighters and be like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So make sure you've got connections out there. Whatever connection is, Thai connection.
Yeah.
And Thai people are so lovely, they will come out and help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's just the police wanting a little backhander, a little bit corrupt.
Yeah. My experience of Thailand was when I was very little. Well, I say very little. I was like 13. I remember going and just never been in a place like that before. Yeah. And there were stray dogs everywhere. It's not at all. I've been back since how it is now, and it was. I liken it to the opening scene of The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know if you've seen that, but when he walks through and there's all the sex shows and stuff going on.
Yes.
I was like, I even say to my parents now, I'm like, why did you expose me? Like, I could see the sex shows. Like,
yes.
I was 13.
13, you could see that.
But
that
was it. And it felt very raw.
Yeah.
And when I went back, I thought, you know, it has obviously with everything else, it's become more westernized and
it has.
The economy's grown, but it's still a beautiful place.
It's stunning. It's how do I put this? It's a bit shabby. But
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Nothing works.
Yeah.
Nothing works at all. Yeah, exactly. But it's beautiful. If you can look past all the things that are not as they should be, it's stunning. The people are beautiful. The lifestyle is completely different to how it is in England. Everything is relaxed. And I think I needed that as well. After uni, trying to find the perfect job and everything, I just wanted to get away.
Yeah, the escape.
And just... I was just trying to think, when was I last happy? And the first thing that came to mind was Muay Thai.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to go.
We'll get right back to our guests, but I wanted to give a big shout out to each and every one of you tuning in. Your downloads, subscriptions, and those shiny reviews you've been leaving, well, they're the heartbeat of She Who Dares Wins. Seriously, without your support, we wouldn't be here sharing these badass stories week after week. Now, here's the scoop. We're currently strutting our stuff without a sponsor, but hey, no sweat. You can keep this adventure alive. Swing by shewhodareswins.com and treat yourself to some empowering merch. Trust me, it's not just gear, it's a statement. And for those Ultimate Insiders, well, why not become a patron? Just £5 a month, and you're not just supporting the show, you're elevating it. We're talking secret bonus episodes with each guest, major discounts on all our merch, and a bunch of other goodies. You're not just a listener, you're a vital part of the tribe. Every bit of support fuels our mission to inspire and empower, so let's keep breaking barriers together. Stay daring, stay unstoppable. She Who Dares Wins. Let's get back to it.
I'm just going to go.
Which just leads me nicely back to when you were a young girl and you found like martial arts. Like I can relate to this because I did karate from a young age, and there was an instance where I was starting to get bullied at school, and I felt for me it gave me like a real good base of knowing myself, and I loved the discipline. I remember chatting to you about this and you were explaining that you had a hard time, and you've since worked with girls that have had a hard time at school.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this disclaimer here is not anyone out there that's getting bullied just going to start crying and beat the crap out your bully. Although, yes, I said it first, you must do it.
You must.
Yeah, you must. But I think it gives girls, a good, just like knowing, it's discipline. A strength of mind as well as the physical side. But how did it help you and like how do you see it help others?
It helped me so much with my confidence, you know, to be able to travel alone as well for such long periods of time and have that self-assurance of, oh no, I've got this. If you can step in the ring, you can do anything.
Yeah.
If you can put a pair of gloves on, you can do anything.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing just to step into a boxing gym.
I was going
to
say, yeah, that is my, when you said that age you stepped into a boxing gym, I stepped into your gym, and even as someone that has worked in construction for 17 years, all around men, I still was a bit like...
You had that daunting feeling. Yeah. Like this is a male environment.
Yeah. And to step into that at such a young age, I'm guessing became quite empowering as well.
Empowering, but I also didn't... So I've grown up not knowing any better. So when I started at 4 years old and then going into a kickboxing and taekwondo, for me it was not that intimidating. A little bit unsure, like if I changed styles and martial arts, I'd be like, oh, I'm not sure about this. What if I don't do it right? But it wouldn't be a case of I feel intimidated by men or I'm not going to be the best or anything like that. It wasn't that feeling. It was I don't want to disappoint my crew, my teacher, and myself. So I think mine was, I think it was just because I started at a young age. I think if you go into it a little bit later, those thoughts of, it's going to be very, very male dominated. Am I going to get punched in the face? The amount of times I get asked that, am I going to get punched in the face?
Yeah. Did I ask you that? I think
you're not going to get punched in the face. Sparring is completely optional.
Yeah.
You don't even, you know, you could, if you wanted to start today, you could go into a boxing gym and you can just lay the groundwork. These are the rules. I come here for fitness, to learn boxing, and to not get punched in the face. And your coach will look at you and say, okay, that's fine. You didn't have to get, you know, get a gum shield and get a head guard and jump in the ring.
Yeah.
I did. I loved it. As soon as the opportunity came up, I was like, yeah, I'm in there.
Yeah.
You know, I love sparring.
Yeah.
Love it.
And I think there's, like the time where I sparred in karate, and actually that was the point at which I stopped.
Same
and
for
I,
my sister. We spoke about this.
Yeah. I was like 21, 22. And it kind of, it frightened me a bit. I think I was at that age where I didn't really, in the 20s, where you're trying to figure out who you are. But yeah, the actual discipline of doing karate, I was obsessed with, and knowing that I could use it if I wanted to use it. What is that thing that, obviously you have it, where you're just like, no, the fight, you know, it's on. Like,
what does, someone hits you, okay, you're getting it back.
Yeah. I mean, I know
that,
I've got
that
it in
switching
me.
Brain.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
fight or flight, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a natural response that you don't really know until it actually happens. I found out early on, I was fight. I was stand and fight.
Right.
Bullying at school. I won't run. I will just stand there. Whereas for my sister, you know, her taekwondo ability was beautiful. She was better than me. She was stunning with the high kicks, the splits. So I was kind of a little bit in competition with my sister.
I like it. Yeah.
I was like, I need to be like that.
Yeah.
And then we went into kickboxing. And I think it must have been the third, fourth session. Coaches got us in the ring and we're just sparring with the men. And I think at this point, we must have been 13, 14. And she got, it wasn't necessarily a big punch to the head, but she did get hit in the head with the head guard. And she, no joke, just walked out the ring, took the head guard off, took her gloves and just sat down.
And
that was it.
Yeah.
She never took it back up again.
Right.
She's quite sad.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
It's really upsetting.
Yeah.
Because she was amazing at it. So I think it's really important that you have a good coach. If you're not comfortable about something, talk to the coach.
Yeah.
Don't, as a coach now, we're not mind readers.
Yeah.
I think I'm quite good at being able to see if something's not right, they weren't comfortable in that situation. Let me go to approach them, talk to them about it. But at the same time, they have so many students to manage.
Yeah.
They might not notice. So just go and chat to them.
Yeah.
Just talk to them, be like, you know, I actually wasn't comfortable with that. And the coach will say to you, I'm really sorry, we don't have to do that again.
Yeah.
So just more communication. So if that ever does happen, if anyone ever does go to a box gym for the first time and they want to try sparring but discover they don't like it, they don't have to do it again.
Yeah.
You don't, that's not now a way of life. You don't have to go and spar every time.
Yeah.
It's a tester.
Yeah, it is so important. Maybe I'll get back in, not in the ring, back into karate, yeah.
Get back into it.
With you now training and seeing other girls come through, I know you want to change the industry and make changes.
Yeah.
Firstly, like, from a mental health side of things, like, I think any sport is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
But doing, and I think, so like, when I actually came down to you, I was coming out of a period of being like suffering from a bit of health anxiety, and I haven't done a lot of physical exercise, and I was kind of a bit like, what am I doing? Like, this is the first thing in. But afterwards, the buzz and that reignition of, oh, this is why you do sport, this is why you loved it so much, is so beneficial. And I remember you saying that you have a lot of young girls come to you, you know, people from all walks of life, and what that gives and what it gave you. Like, what does it give you? What are those feelings?
I describe it as a moving meditation. As soon as I step in the ring, I touch gloves with my friend, my training partner, my coach, everything goes silent. I'm not thinking about rent. I'm not thinking about bills. I'm not thinking about the argument I had with my dad. I'm not thinking about my grades at school. I'm not thinking about anything except one, two, kick, hook, cross. That's it. Because if you switch off for 1 second, you're going to get hit in the head. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to switch off.
Mm.
All you're thinking about is those things. And when you start to perfect those things, it does become a moving meditation. All of a sudden, you're just moving. And it's flow. And it's amazing. You leave feeling lighter and just so calm and content. I love it every time. Even to this day, that feeling doesn't wear off.
Mm.
As long as you keep doing it, you will have the same effect every time. Every time.
It's beautiful. And it was beautiful watching you. Like you say, it's like a dance. There's and what is what you don't give away, because it looks so effortless when I see you in the ring with the power as well. No, I'm deadly serious on this. You're really bad at taking compliments.
Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. I don't know how to take compliments. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're gonna have to learn.
Just say thank you.
Yeah,
thanks. That's it. Working on it.
But you were, and the power that you kick and punch, and when I got in, I was like, yeah, I got this. And it's so hard to just like, I've done, you know, jab, hook, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, you found myself laughing because my head couldn't, it's almost like that space, I like to say, between like concentration and it's, I don't know what it is. It's this weird bit where you're in the zone, but you're not thinking. It's like.
Yes. Yeah. I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
That was really well put. I don't know. Whatever that is,
that zone. That's if anyone knows, let us know what the zone is. And it's hard to get that.
Yeah.
But you, when you're in it,
I think you get to that point when you've gone past the frustration part.
Okay.
You go through a period of frustration because it's, why am I not getting this? She said, turn your hip 50 times and I'm still not doing it.
Yeah.
She's saying, turn her body more and I'm still not doing it. I'm not turning my foot. I'm not twisting. I'm not hitting with my shin, I'm hitting with my foot. I'm hitting with my knee. I'm not hitting with the right part. And you do leave sometimes a little bit disheveled, a little bit annoyed, a little bit frustrated.
Mm.
But then you come back.
Yeah.
That drive to come back to get better is there. And I think you get that zone that we spoke about when you get the basics and you're able to just tune out, hit the pads, listen to the pad man, or just hit the bag as well. Internal dialogue. Just follow that internal dialogue and switch off. So I think you have to go through that frustration phase first.
And when you asked me, you looked me dead in the eye. People need to watch this. And you were like, whilst I'm in there, you were like, would you fight?
Yeah, first question I was, are you going to fight?
I was like,
do you want to fight?
What? Like now? What?
Yeah, true. I didn't specify. I was like, go get your gum shield. We're having a fight.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit. Like, what is this some sort of setup? But why is that question important?
I don't know. I think it's... We can be besties if you say yes.
All right.
We can on the dark side together.
I think my yes was like a...
But that shows, you know, she who dares wins. You know, you kind of went, okay, I'll have a go.
Yeah.
That maybe shows grit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Showing a little bit. I think it's important as well. If I ask someone, would you ever fight? That feeling of knowing, okay, I've got a client here who doesn't mind if I hit them.
Okay. Oh, right.
like when I hit back on pads. Some people just do it for fitness.
Yeah.
You know, some people actually want to do it for technique. So when I go to kick them, I'm checking if they're checking the kick.
Yeah.
So that's the progression. That's what I'm looking for. If they're prepared to maybe step in the ring, even for an interclub,
yeah,
and they've ticked that box, by asking, would you have a fight? I'm seeing where, well, yeah, you know, the groundwork.
I think anyone interested in it has got to have that, like...
No, no.
Oh, really?
I think it's about 5%.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The rest is like, oh, no. No. I'm like, would you like to fight? No. I'm like, not now, like, yeah, yeah, later. Yeah. After about 4 years, no. And it's like, okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. More so the boys.
Right. The boys no fight.
They do want to fight.
Oh, they do.
Mostly, yeah, most of the boys want to fight. Predominantly the girls, oh, no. But it's on the... Because you don't really see many women fight.
Oh, so this is really nice for me to come on to this. Like, I the one thing that I love talking to guests on the show about is, you know, when they're doing a sport or they're in a career where you don't necessarily see other women doing it. And, like, on Instagram, like, mm-hmm. I'm on the scroll, and I had never seen anyone like you before. And now you've opened my eyes to other women in the UK that are doing it and abroad. And obviously the algorithm kicks in. But
it does, yeah.
If you've not got TikTok algorithm, then you are not exposed to these things. And it's like young girls are not necessarily exposed.
No, not at all.
Like, my youngest has just started karate. And actually, it's not too bad But
saying that, so I've grown up in martial arts. If you were to name a female karate...
Yeah.
I would say Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that comes to mind, and it's so true.
Yeah. Actually, I can't even...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's about this scene, and that's why I was so passionate when I came across you, because you're putting it out there, and you're showing people, you know, what it is that you can do. You're sharing your story, and then you're now on this fight for the weight class.
Yeah.
So talk us through, like, the issues you've had with the weight class and what it is that you want to kind of do.
If I never fight again because of my weight, I'd be distraught, because I will never be less than 63 kilos. Basically, for those that don't know, there's weight rankings for the World Muay Thai Organization. And in order to get rankings, that then leads to titles and sponsorship, and you can actually have a career out of this. Mm-hmm. I could get in the ring tomorrow if they found someone my weight and my height, but I wouldn't get rankings. I wouldn't get a title. I would just have a fight. And then, you know, you get people that will argue, why don't you just fight for the beauty of fighting? Not to sound arrogant, but I do want recognition.
Well, why should
yes,
you not?
Like, I want recognition.
You turn up as much as anyone else.
Exactly.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in other sports, it's not the case. So it's quite infuriating. So if I never fight again, I at least want to change it for the next generation. I'm 30. I'm not 20 anymore. You know, if this doesn't get organised soon, I'll be in my late 30s, perhaps. Trust me, I will get in the ring. If I feel like I could, I would.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that I want to be driving towards at the moment. I don't want to fight at 63 kilos. I'm 63 kilos muscle. I've done, you know, my degree has enabled me to actually know the facts and back it up with science. You know, when I was 15 and I was told I had to be 54 kilos at 70 kilos, I look back now and I think you literally, excuse my French, pulled that number out your ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Literally. And by the way, I looked back, I could have fought at 63, at 70, when I was 15. So why say 54?
So 54, which is what, because I'm a stone person, like I only know
God.
Stone. Yeah.
I turned my phone off, I don't have Google.
I think we did, I think we did this.
We
worked
it out.
I think it was like, was it 8?
Stone, yes.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that.
I think it's like somewhere around the 8.
I think 60 is around, is that around 10 stone? I'm not sure.
So that's the heaviest you can be. To
get rankings. So I could fight tomorrow 100 kilos.
Yeah.
But I won't get rankings.
But
I won't get sponsors. I won't have a career.
Yeah.
So it'd be like a hobby.
But the national average now, like it's...
Yeah.
There's going to be... It's not just you. There's going to be a lot of other women and a lot of other
and
fighters.
And this is what I saw in Thailand. So women are around 68 to 75 kilos. That's like the norm of what women are floating around Thailand. They get told by crews and coaches, you need to be 63. These women struggled to get 63, then don't get matches. In hindsight, if they all weren't told to lose weight, there would be a category there of 68 to 75 kilos.
It makes no sense, does it?
It makes no sense.
Yeah, someone's just done a few boxes and been like, and how has anything been changed in like the last 20, 30 years?
20, 30 years, yes. So it was less than that. Right. It was less than six. That's come up. But women, it has changed a lot for women in Muay Thai. So I was very fortunate enough to actually see the original Lumpini Stadium in its raw, gritty, original state. And I remember, and I wonder how old were we? I must have been 15 when we went to Thailand as the family. And I remember seeing the sign saying, women are not allowed to touch the ring. Oh. And I, that really pissed me off.
I will touch the ring.
Right. And I loved this sport.
Right.
I lived and breathed this sport at this age. At the, yeah.
Right, okay.
And I've gone to Lumpini Stadium and I've looked and I've seen the sign and I've gone, what the fuck's that about? Why can't I touch the ring? You know when someone says, don't press the button?
Uh-huh.
You want to press the button.
Press the fucking button.
Repeatedly press that button. shows my character, sorry.
I love it.
What does that button do? Thank God it's changed. So now, it's only very recently, I think it's been the last... Blimey, it might have already been about a year now that women can actually fight in Lumpini.
Just a year?
Yeah, a year ago, yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and Rajadamnern, and I'm not sure about Channel 7 yet, but Super Champ. Women weren't allowed to touch the ring, yeah.
But allowed to train?
No, not allowed to train. So certain, even some gyms you go to now in Thailand, very old-fashioned ones, very in their old ways, there may be one or two rings in the gym that women are not allowed to touch. But the dogs are allowed to get on the ring. You can see the dogs getting on the ring.
Obviously.
And you're kind of sitting there, why don't I do this sport? but that's very rare now. Okay. Very, very rare. It's come a... So in that sense, that's a huge achievement.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we just need to try and... By increasing the weight classes, it will increase participation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is about empowering and inspiring women.
Yeah.
If we can... expand these weight classes, more women will take part.
Yeah.
Because there won't be this, you know, fat shaming. Mm. You know, she's 70 kilos fighting an open weight who's 90 kilos. Another girl who's 90 kilos. That's going to fat shame the 90 kilos. So it's not a fair fight for both of them, you know? And that would make anyone not want to continue with the sport. Mm. So I think this will be... a huge, because there's so many women in Thailand. It's almost 50-50 in gender. For men and women, it's 50-50, right down the middle. People participating, which you'd probably think it would be...
a lot less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like maybe 10%. It's not.
So with people showing up, it's not like, I guess in some traditional sorts where they're like, not many women want to do it.
No, they do.
So women are showing up and it's this change that, I guess with everything, like it fucking takes so much time.
Yeah.
But... that proves...
it proves. If there was a platform where women could actually register their weight, their walking around weight and their fighting weight, there'd be a huge influx. I think that is probably something that I will actually do off my own back, unpaid, because it needs to be done. I've seen it firsthand in Thailand, and it did tick me off a little bit when their comment was, we only rank what we see.
Right.
I can see it everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
I'm heavyweight currently. Yeah. I don't think that this is my optimal fight weight. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying for 1 second I'm at my optimal performance. I want to fight 70 kilos. But I'm kind of a little bit thinking, what is the point in putting all that hard work in to lose 20, 25, 30 kilos to get to that and not when even get rankings?
Yeah.
I'm in the same situation now.
Yeah.
So why should I kill myself? Do you know what I mean? There's a long way to go, and I think I'm just going to take control of that and just make the way for change.
I love that. I think that's powerful. I think you're the right person to do it. And yeah, why not?
Yeah. If it's a problem of they don't have someone to do the job,
yeah,
I will do the job.
She's here.
I got it. I will do it.
So... obviously, that's where you want to see development within the industry and the sport. And that's kind of your journey, I guess, moving forward. You take clients on, now you train. Yeah. I was, incredibly lucky to have trained with you. And if anyone listening out there, you can view the documentary. It will come out this podcast. It was fucking awesome.
It's going to be brilliant. I can't wait.
It was so amazing. And like I say, every time I watch you fight... I'm a little bit scared. No, you're good.
I'm Muay Panda, I'm cute.
Yeah, no, I love that. I fucking love that.
Well, the reason, did I tell you where that came from?
No, I love it, but tell me.
Tell you again. My dad, he has always called me Kung Fu Panda.
Love it.
Always. As ever since that film came out, I went, oh my God, it's you. And I didn't take offence once because I thought Kung Fu Panda Poe was awesome. Yeah. I love Poe.
Yeah.
And I was in Thailand and the trainer asked, what's your fight name? And I said, Kung Fu Panda. And he went, no, Muay Panda. Like this, basically wrong sport.
Yeah.
Changed the Kung Fu to Muay. And then it just stuck. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it resonates so much with me.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. I'm not going to be like, yeah, you're a fluffy little panda. Yeah. But no, like, yeah.
I am. It's just a persona when I go in the ring. You got to be a little bit...
Yeah. You've got to have your fight game. Yeah. Your fight
can't
face.
Go in as panda.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Come out as a panda with black eyes.
I love to see you, like, you know, when you come out in the suit, just come out. Yes. Oh my God, there's actually a live panda, and then just...
I want to do like a remix version of the theme tune for my outsong. I want to... That'd be so cool.
Epic. I fucking love that.
That'd be brilliant.
And I love the way that you're kind of like really are, you know, just carving your way and like...
I'm taking each day at a time. Yeah. I don't want to set too much... You know, be really strict with time, and if I don't do this by then, you know, you can't live your life that way. Mm-hmm. Just roll with it and take each day as you can. And at the moment, it's okay, I'm trying to increase weight classes. I do want to go back to Thailand. I'm planning on going back around April, May next year.
Sweet.
Don't know how long for yet. Again, don't want to set too much time on that. Uh-huh. And then, New Year, try and cut some weight and go out again. And yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you so much for this platform and
oh, you're welcome. It completely voice out there. Ignites me to, I don't know, do something, maybe fight.
You should come out to Thailand with me.
Yes.
Come.
Yes.
Come for about 2 weeks.
Fuck it, we'll do another documentary.
I'll speak to someone.
Yeah, we'll sort
we'll
it.
Get you in the ring, don't worry.
Yeah. We'll drag everyone else. Anyone else can box in, sign up, come with us, flight. We'll just do it, yeah.
We should just do it.
Yeah. Fucking love it.
Create a movement of women going out. Yeah. Just take over Phuket and Bangkok.
And we'll just change everything about the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Thank you for being an amazing guest.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you so much.